Of a grihastha, and they are very extensive and and troublesome to execute. They are compared to a big hill. What does a big hill mean in Sanskrit? A big hill. Anybody? Ati Bharani. Ati. Ati Sundara means? Sundara means?
Beautiful.
Ati Sundara? Very beautiful. Ati Bargini, very big mountain. Not Bargini, Ati Bargini. They are compared to a big hill over which one must cross over, cross when one is attached to material activities. There are many important qualifying words in this translation, which we'll go over again. This one is one of the important ones. When one is attached to material activities, a person desiring to cross over these ritualistic ceremonies, another one, what type of ceremonies? Ritualistic ceremonies, certainly feels pains like the piercing of thorns and pebbles endured by one attempting to climb a hill. What kind of hill? A very big hill, Ati Bharagihim. Thus, the conditioned soul suffers unlimitedly. So, for the sake of the Brahmacharis, you just arrived. Somebody can tell them what the word Atibarigini means? One of the children? Yes?
Very big mountain.
A very big mountain. Atibarigini. This is our mantra for today. Atibarigini, Atibarigini. Maybe 16 hours of Atibarigini. Atibarigini, Atibarigini. A very big mountain. Not as Harigini. Atibarigini. Very big. Brahmacharis are smiling because I know they don't have to climb the mountain. They've got to do all the grihasthas here. Not another one. Another grihastha slamming glass. We're going to crawl out of this classroom for that kind of temple. Let's get the sound. Get home. It said that in Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a chapter where it's called the explanation of the Atmanavats in Madhyamika. And Sanat Lord Chaitanya is speaking on this, the esoteric meaning of these verses, many, many different angles of vision. And then at the end, Sanat Goswami says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "You're God. You must be the Supreme Godhead. How can you speak like this? You're not a devotee. I know now who you are. You're Krishna himself." And he was glorifying Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya doesn't like to be called God. He wants to be called the servant of God. Dasana, dasana, dasana. That's Mahaprabhu's identity. So he covered his ears and said, "No, no, no, not God. Why are you saying God? You should understand Bhagavatam." He was talking Bhagavatam. He said, "You should understand Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the same as Krishna." He says that Krishna Turiya Bhagavata Vibhu Savashaya. Says Bhagavatam is identical to Krishna. Krishna is the shelter of all living entities. He's the supreme shelter of everyone. The great shelter. Vibhu Savashaya. Everyone can take shelter of Krishna. Bhagavatam is the same. Tulya Bhagavatam. He says, Prati shloke prati akshate nana artha paya. That in every shloka, in every akshara, every syllable of every shloka of Bhagavatam, there is unlimited meanings. Nana artha paya. So, Lord Chaitanya's teaching Sanatana Goswami that he is not God, Bhagavatam is God. Bhagavatam is Krishna. And unlimited meanings we can derive from Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this section, the Bhagavatam is referred during the week, in the last few weeks. Particularly we heard from Brahmacharis this week. Seemed to be a very heavy Brahmacharis week. Adi Purush Guru and Ramabhavu. All the heavyweights, right? So you keep giving it to us. Inspired, because the Bhagavatam, it's not just Prabhupada didn't establish an international society for Brahmacharya consciousness. He established an international society for Krishna consciousness. So you might think, yeah, well, this is all Brahmacharya, Brahmacharya, Brahmacharya. We have to do Brahmacharya. We do have to do Brahmacharya. But you don't have to wear that orange for it. You don't have to hold on to that. But we Brahmacharya. And we'll talk about that Brahmacharya. The definition of Brahmacharya from Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are many social functions for keeping a prestigious position in society. In different countries and societies, there are various festivals and rituals. In India, the father is supposed to get his children married. When he does so, his responsibility to the family is complete. Arranging marriages is very difficult, especially in these days. At the present moment, no one can perform the proper ritual sacrifice, nor can anyone afford to pay for the marriage ceremonies of the sons and daughters. Therefore, householders are very much distressed when they are confronted by these social duties. It is as though they were pierced by thorns and hurt by pebbles. Material attachment is so strong that despite the suffering, one cannot give it up. Balaram therefore recommends in the Bhagavatam 755, Bhagavatma Bhaktaram Viryam Anandakupam, Parangato Yadhari Asayata. The so-called comfortable family position is compared to a dark well in a field. Anandakupam. If one falls in a dark well covered by grass, his life is lost. Despite his cry for rescue, highly advanced spiritualists, therefore, recommend that one should not enter the Grihastha Ashram. It is better to prepare oneself in the Brahmacharya Ashram for austerities and remain a pure Brahmacharya throughout one's life, so that one will not feel the piercing thorns of material life in the Grihastha Ashram. In the Grihastha Ashram, one has to accept invitations from friends and relatives and perform ritualistic ceremonies. By so doing, one becomes captivated by such things, although he may not have sufficient resources to continue them. To maintain a Grihastha lifestyle, one has to work very hard to acquire money. Thus, one is implicated in material life and he suffers from thorn pricks. One by the In household life, one is ordered to execute many yajnas and fruitive activities, especially the vivaha yajna, the marriage ceremony for sons and daughters, and the sacred bread ceremony. These are all the duties of a grihastha, and they are very extensive and troublesome to execute. They are compared to a big hill over which one must cross when one is attached to material activities. A person desiring to cross over these ritualistic ceremonies certainly feels pains from the piercing thorns of pebbles endured by one attempting to climb a hill Thus the conditioned soul suffers unlimitedly. Yesterday we were invited to a wedding ceremony. And that wedding ceremony was conducted on Facebook. We got an invite, you know, somebody sent us an invite 2 weeks ago for an event. We had to come to the event through digital marketing. So we get the invitation. So it was a past student of mine from that I used to teach in New Zealand. So she sent out an invitation and we accepted, and yes, we're going to the event with TikTok. I'm very excited, and 1 o'clock, it's going to be 3 o'clock there, 1 o'clock here. So we get ready for the event, for the wedding ceremony. And well, we didn't get dressed up. But we went to the computer and put on the light the screen and logged into a Facebook account, and there's no wedding. And so I probably there's some problem in 3 o'clock. So we're checking the previous channel. No wedding. Checking again. 4:30, no wedding channels. What happened? You know, we got a connection, checking out the Wi-Fi, everything's right, everything's perfect. But no wedding. So this wedding ceremony went on in New Zealand. But due to some technical difficulties, the people outside of New Zealand, we couldn't go to the wedding. We're going to be blessings going through this process. But we were thinking that, you know, mentally we prepared to go to the wedding and to give our blessings and to send our, you know, comments and how, you know, for a good life, but we weren't able to because of some technical issues on the other end. So this is a modern day wedding. Modern day weddings, we might think that it's very easy to do modern day wedding. You don't have to worry so much. You don't need to be elaborate celebration and everything like that, because you can do it all virtually. We can do it, you can save a lot of money. You can invite hundreds and hundreds of people, and you don't have to feed them because they're on the other side of the world. It's much cheaper this way to do a virtual wedding. But still, it didn't work. So, no matter what you did, no matter what way we tried, we can't. And that's another kind of what do you call it? When we dilute something. It's another way of diluting a real process. The process of the Viva Hayag is important, and we want to invite people to the Viva Hayag for blessings, not for speech. Not to say, I spent $100,000 on my son's wedding. How much did you spend? You couldn't even spend $20,000 on your son's wedding. What to speak of your daughter's wedding? How much did you spend on your daughter's wedding? And like this, you get some conversations. Some new people, we had an office in Mumbai, we were doing an education program in Mumbai. And in the office, sometimes you hear the people in the office speaking, and nice people, but you know, not the poor girls. And they're speaking about the wedding ceremony they went to, or the wedding, how they married their daughter. Oh, I spent $35,000, like American dollars, on this wedding. Why do you spend $35,000? I spent $80,000. We're talking about this and showing the photos of pictures and inviting us. You know, we get to get, especially, you know, if you're light skinned in India and people know you're there, you get invited to a lot of weddings, like a bit of a kind of an attraction. The white guy came to my wedding. But it's not for prestige. Every samskara is important. And the beauty of the Vaishnava culture is that all of the samskaras are connected with Krishna. And so the idea behind our samskara, and the word in yesterday was definitely a Vaishnava samskara, is to attract the blessings of the Vaishnavas, attract the blessings of the devotees, so that they'll bless the couple to have a Krishna conscious life together in marriage. And so it becomes very auspicious. And Srila Prabhupada established the Vidaha Yajna from the first Yajna. First Yajna in, or second Yajna. Second Yajna in Islam was a Vidaha Yajna. First Yajna was initiation, second day was a Vidaha Yajna. In 26th of November. And he continued that to initiate and to marry his disciples, because he wanted to regulate them. And he wanted to protect them, his disciples, leading an unregulated life. And in this way become what Prabhupada termed the Brahmacharya Grihastha. And indeed Prabhupada elaborates on that in many reports in Bhagavatam and in lectures and conversations. That his Grihasthas, he was very proud of his Grihasthas, particularly the three famous Grihasthas who went to open the London Temple. Very, very proud of them because of the austerities that they endured in London, what they went through. And if you read Yamuna Mataji's book, and Mukunda Maharaj's book, and Gurudasa's book, Malaka's book is coming up. But if you read the books, the biographies, and everybody should be reading these books, because they connect us with the mood and the mission of Srila Prabhupada. How Prabhupada had such a unique contribution, how he made such a unique contribution to the modern world, and it will go down in history of Prabhupada here. And it is going to be in history, how Srila Prabhupada transformed the consciousness of society. And he was very passionate about making sure that the leaders of society got this message, that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness was a society. A society means that everybody is included. We have a society of Brahmanas, a society of Vaishyas, a society of Kshatriyas, society of all the Dharmas and all the Ashramas, Brahmacharis, Grihastha Society, Vanaprastha Society, and Sannyas Society. All of the Ashramas and Vaishyas combined together to make a society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada's vision was always very broad. In Bhagavatam it says that the intelligence is very broad. Intelligence. And Prabhupada's vision was like that. One time devotees asked asked him, you spend so much time with Prabhupada, how do we please Prabhupada? What is Prabhupada really, what can we do with this Prabhupada? What is the issue, do the Lord's what can we do to please Prabhupada? And his Shukadeva's response was always, Prabhupada wanted to do things in a very grand fashion. He wanted to do things in a very big way, universal way, that had a massive, ultimate impact on society, a big impact on individuals in society, the leaders in society. So do something big, as the Hebrew always said. Do something that's significant for Prabhupada, and that will attract Prabhupada's attention. Because he liked that, he sent devotees to all parts, corners of the world. And he, last night in Prabhupada Memories, another very good way to cultivate Prabhupada consciousness and to enter into Prabhupada's moving mission is to watch the Prabhupada Memories. If any of you are YouTubers, you just get into the Prabhupada Memories, you can stay there for years. There's so many memories. I don't know how many there are, but we haven't even scratched the surface of them. Siddhanta and Bhaktivedanta. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of recollections, and some of them, you watch them, and they take the recording 30 years ago. So the prophet disciples I look like young yogis. 30 years ago, young and fresh, and see, so they probably look like the young, it's about kind of a wrong tradition. And he's talking about the privilege of the prophet. Anyway, this lady, Mother Jessica, was talking about prophet. And she was saying how she was saying how she had some personal interaction with Prabhupada, one-on-one interaction with Prabhupada, and it was a rare occasion. And so she was talking about different events, different preaching that was going on around the world, and Prabhupada was listening, and then she said that she said in the airport she was distributing Prabhupada's books. So Prabhupada asked her, you know, what are you doing? She said, I'm distributing your books, Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada got really interested in the conversation, especially, and he asked her, where do you distribute the books? Who do you distribute the books to? What's the sort of response that people are giving for the books? He got really into like doing the whole marketing survey, kind of where people are coming from and what the response is to his product, to his books. And she was telling him, oh, Prabhupada, you know, I distributed to all sorts of people, to doctors and to lawyers, and to simple people on the street and the airports, and to diplomats. And Prabhupada said, oh, diplomats. You know, he got interested and he said, you know, which diplomats, which countries have you distributed my books to? So I distributed to this Indian ambassador and to this one from Malta, Albania. And Prabhupada said, Albania? He said, Albania, that's behind the Iron Curtain. And he said, that's very good. And he said, how do they respond? And how do they get their books there? It's illegal to take books. And he said, well, the Albanian, the diplomats, they have diplomatic kind of concession. But when they go to customs, they don't have to get checked. They don't look in their bags at that time anyway. They don't look in their bags, so they go straight through. So he can take the book through. And then he gets the book in. And Prabhupada's book, he teaches about Roger Tanya, where he's bit this into Albania. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, we cannot get into Albania, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can get into Albania, and he's there now, and he will preach in Albania. So, the point is, Srila Prabhupada established this international society of Krishna consciousness, and he very much brought norms, many norms that you could consider to be standard for a spiritual organization, or for even for Gaudiya Math, for Gaudiya tradition. But he establishes Grihastha Ashrama right from the beginning. And here we're hearing that don't go to Grihastha Ashrama, stay in the Brahmacharya Ashrama, remain Nashtika Brahmacharya. Stay there and be trained up in austerity and be happy there, so you don't have to suffer the thorns and the pebbles. Thorn fruits, and climbing Mathi Bhagavini, and climbing that hill. And it's a very interesting metaphor. It's a very appropriate metaphor, Mathi Bhagavini, because we always have this sense in the material world that if I just achieve this next level, I'll be happy and I'll be satisfied. And we get there and look around, and it doesn't satisfy our senses and our mind or our intelligence. And so they climb higher, and by this gets the next promotion to the next level, to the next vantage point. It will be satisfying. I'll be happy. And we get there, and we look around, and we experience, and we think, what else is there? What's next? And we go up, and we up on it. And so the mature world, climbing the upper body green, in the mature world, is, it will never satisfy the soul. It can't satisfy the soul. So, Prabhupada has given us a formula of, yes, we climb the hill, and yes, we get the vantage point, and we see it from the vantage point of bhakti. It's a paripashati darshana. Pashati means to see, and paripashati means a particular perspective or vision. And that perspective of vision is given to the devotees in the ashram. Everyone who's taken the shelter of Krishna has his paripasha darshana, has a capacity. And then Prakriti Hachachotra means that the Prakriti, the three modes of nature, they release their energy, they release their influence on the devotee who's climbing the hill. We're doing the same activities as the non-devotees, but because we deal with a different consciousness, because we do it for a different motivation, we do it for a different purpose, the gatim is different, the destination is different, the prayojana is different, then we become free from the modes of nature. And the materialist becomes implicated in the modes of nature. By their climbing, they become more and more entangled in the complexities of the material world by climbing. The more vision that they get, the more elevation they get, the more perspective that they get from material vision, they become more and more entangled. And we become more and more liberated by doing the same activity but with a different consciousness. So, the Brahmacharya Ashram is the ashram for beginning. And it can be the ashram for finishing as well. But it's an ashram that we can say not just figuratively or metaphorically that it's important, but Brahmacharya is something that is the principle of the ashram. It's not the physical location of the building. It's not the vastu of the building, it's not the color of the cloth, it's a consciousness, Brahmacharya consciousness. And Prabhupada talks about this at length in this canto. You know, in the fifth canto, it's a very hard-going canto. So, you get some may think it's discouraging, oh, canto. Suddenly, so many instructions are given to us. Here are our material aspirations and to go to the forest. Like here we have Kalana is telling us to go to the forest and take shelter of Hari, Hari Masharita, go to Vrindavan, to that special forest. But in this fifth canto also we hear Prita Maharaj. Prita Maharaj is sitting, the introduction to Prita Maharaj is where he's sitting on top of a hill. He's sitting high on top of the hill and he has a beautiful vision, of course. He can see everything on top of the hill. And who is he sitting with? Krishna Maharaj is sitting with Narada Muni. Narada? Swayam Rupa Maharaj. His father. His father and Narada Muni, the spiritual master of the universe. He's sitting on top of the universe with his Guru Maharaj and his father. And his father saying, now Krishna, I want you to heal my Maharaj. Prince Krito, I want you to become the king. Not the king, I want you to become the emperor. Emperor of Madhvarajavasya. Emperor of the universe. I want you to become the emperor of the universe. And Krito Maharaj says, Narada Muni is just instructing me to become renounced. He's already instructed all of their brothers, sons, and so many other people to become renunciates. I'm going to follow that path. So, I'm not going to do it. And he refused the order of his father. So I knew a man. One of the great, great monkeys. So he refused. And now he means feeling very happy and satisfied that he got another one. Okay, he's got another. Signed up for the Brahmacharya Ashram. So Preacher's happy. So my son Buddha is not happy. He's thinking, what will happen now? So then he Priyavrata, thank you. That's the benefit of having done a choice. Priyavrata. And so he thinks, what can I do? So he calls for Lord Brahma. Whenever there's a calamity, they call for Lord Brahma, particularly in big event. So he's not listening to his father. So I'm doing it as a direct connection with Brahma. So Lord Brahma comes on his swan. Beautiful description is given. That he comes his swan river, swan airplane. And he doesn't come alone. Boba Nath comes with all the heavyweights. He's coming to make sure that the point gets across. So all the munis and rishis, sages, all of them are coming. He brings the Sapta rishis, the Vashishtha muni, everybody's coming to see what's happening there. At the Kandamalamika on the top. And then Lord Mark comes and he's offered the respect. Everybody's happy to see him. Like they offer respect to him and offer the seat to him. And then he requests Priyavata to please, you know, this is your father. You have to do this. This is for, you have to become the emperor of the universe. This is your service. And then when you do this, you won't become implicated in materialistic work, materialistic activities. You do this with a pure consciousness that Narada has taught you, what Narada has taught you is good, that will stick with you. That won't go. But Narada Muni has given you the instruction to be detached. You be detached, but you engage in activities. And you rule the universe. So he went to rule the universe for, it says for 11 arutas. And one aruta means 100 million years. So he ruled the universe for 1100 million years. Quite a long time. We think 4 years is a long time. 4 years in office. Get re-elected. And run twice for office, I think. But 1100 million years, he ruled the universe. And then he announced. And it said that, you know, he married Vaishnavi, a beautiful queen, and enjoyed unlimited heavenly opulences, but never lost his consciousness. He never lost the mission, the mood and the mission of his father and his Lord Brahma and his guru, Narada Muni. It's Prabhupada mentions there that the four of the 12 Mahajanas were on the hill there with Priyavata. Lord Shiva was there. Lord Shiva, Swami Vivekananda, Narayana, Lord Brahma were there on the hill. So this is an important event. And Prabhupada uses it to make this important point that even though he entered into this Vriyasa ashram, and he took this great responsibility to become the emperor of the universe. He was considered a brahmachari. In those purports, Prabhupada quotes there that he was a brahmachari gnyasta. Peter Rathman was a brahmachari gnyasta. Even though he enjoyed unlimited. And I think it's there that Prabhupada, in the same purport, Prabhupada mentions about the Rajasuya sacrifice. It says that when Sahadev announced that Lord Krishna should get the first remnants from the sacrifice, Rajasuya sacrifice, and he's the most exalted person here in this whole assembly. And that was not contested. Everybody, the Brahmanas and all the things, that yes, that's Krishna is the best. He's the most important. Except for, you know, he was sitting there, Shishupala, he's sitting in the center and he's thinking, Krishna's not the best. Krishna, he's nobody, he's a rascal. And he was going down, he had his big list, like, Krishna's not, shouldn't get this special recognition. He doesn't have a caste, he's immoral, he acts immorally, he does all sorts of bad things. So he gave the long list, like, he shouldn't. And then at that time, Prabhupada mentions this twice or three times. Vishnudeva spoke up in favor of Sahadeva's opinion. And Vishnudeva said, actually, Krishna is the best brahmachari. He's the greatest brahmachari. The Shishupala was saying, Krishna is, you know, he's immoral and he dances with young girls and he's got so many wives. And then Vishnu said, no, Krishna is the greatest brahmachari. He's the best brahmachari because he's completely detached from that. even in the midst of that, he doesn't become attached and he's not the world. So he's the greatest, and it says that Vishnudev is the greatest authority in that assembly in Brahmacharya, because he took the vow of Brahmacharya. So what he says is correct. So the Grihastha Brahmacharya is an important point that Prabhupada established right from the beginning. But it's based on the Brahmacharya Gurukula Eva Sandhana Bhagavatam. It's based on that. Prabhupada doesn't give purport to that verse in the seventh canto. We're all like, I think I give a purport to that verse. When we were researching the Gurukula. But he gave a class on that. In 1976, I think, he had a Bhagavatam class, a series of Bhagavatam classes in Mumbai, Bombay, in 1976. And there he spoke on a few verses from that chapter. It's the beginning of the chapter of the orders of society, the four orders of the social order and the discussions. And then Prabhupada says, explains the principle of Brahmacharya, that you live in the ashram of the Guru, Brahmacharya Gurukul. It goes to the Gurukul and stays in there for the purpose of the Sanganta Gurovikam. To please Guru, Gurovikam, for the satisfaction of the spiritual master, and for the Vasanganta, the most important thing, the starting point, is to control the senses. And that is Brahmacharya. And Prabhupada said, this education is missing. This education is lacking in the Western world. What in India, not to speak of the Western world, everywhere, this education is lacking. The first thing that is in education is to develop sense control, character development. And then Prabhupada says ABCD. First is sense control, then ABCD. That can come easily. So character development is how we develop our character is by learning to control the senses. The mind, the tongue, the eyes, the ears. We learn to control that in the Brahmacharya Ashram or the Brahmacharya Ashram. And Prabhupada created this system. So we live in the ashram. We live in, as this one of the devotees, the ashram is our temple. The Ashraya is here in the temple. We might have a physical address in Albert Park, because Grihastha can't afford that. The Brahmacharya can't afford to live in Albert Park. But Grihastha can't afford to live there, most of them. But we still, our shelter is Albert Park. Our shelter is this one. It's Srila Prabhupada. And that doesn't mean it's a physical location in one place. But Prabhupada has given us this shelter and we live in it as Brahmacharis, all of us. Children, adults, men, women, we live in his ashram. We live in Prabhupada's ashram. And we follow the rules of the ashram. The rules of the ashram is that we offer our food to Krishna. The rules of the ashram is that we rise early in the morning. The rules of the ashram is that we clean the body. Every day, take part in Puttilak. And with the rules of the ashram is we only vegetarian food offered to Krishna. These are the rules of the ashram. And for the Brahmacharya, for the Grihasthas, the rules of the ashram is we have regulated sex life. And he says, it's not that we don't have sex life, we have it. And he says, you can produce the principle is to produce Krishna conscious offspring. And that is Brahmacharya. He said that quite a few times. That if you produce Krishna conscious offspring, that is Brahmacharya Ashrama. Yes. So that's our shelter. This one is our shelter. The Sandanto Gurovitam. Acharam Dasavam Vicho. That in the ashram we develop submissiveness. Nicharam. And dasavam, we become servants. We learn how to become a servant of Krishna in this one. First thing. First thing many of us in the early days, maybe not now, the first thing we did in the early days when we joined this one, the here in the temple was pot shed. It wasn't this pot shed, this is fancy pot shed. You can call this a pot shed, this is like some five-star hotel thing. But pot shed was a pot shed, it was a shed at the back of the property. And, you know, that was just where we went and bashed the pots. Pots all fought throughout hours of the night. And that's where we learned to become servants. Actually, in Crossways, we were students and we go to Crossways for mostly for halva. And not much else, just halva. We get with the rice and the rice and mostly halva. More of that halva with the yellow sauce. And so, and the custard too. So we go there and we would get free meals. Crossways was free, in the early days it was free. And then it became $2. And we can go up $2 with a lot of money. So you know what this is? This is a darshan of one of the Christian people. I should have told him that today I'm here, I can have real darshan. It goes on for a while. Beautiful. So, that's it. Yeah, the pot shed, the pot shed you learned. I mean, Crossroads you learned, and I remember $2, $2. A student, they can't pay $2 from me. So, they said if you wash the pots, if you wash the dishes, then they're free. So, we went out to the back, myself and Nigel, my friend. We used to wash the dishes in the back of Elizabeth Street, the Crossroads. And on the wall they had a mantra. It was Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Mantra. And that's why I learned my first mantra. Washing the dishes there, really. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. It wasn't Sri Krishna Chaitanya. For weeks, you know, my consciousness was completely covered. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, I couldn't work it out. It took me months to learn that verse. Actually, I washed the dishes there for like about maybe, I don't know, 6 months, and I still didn't know the mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, I probably need the mantra. It took me so long. What is it? And then the big picture of Panchakartha, you know the one we have upstairs? That was in Crossroads. And we used to eat at a dinner in front of that picture. Right? The big Panchakartha. And then one of the devotees said to me, this mantra is that picture. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada. Wow. And then I learned it, you know, when I was looking at him. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So this is the kind of the training, this is becoming a servant, dasavana. Dasavana. Servant like. Achavan dasavana. And then the last one is interesting, is Bhagavan Buddha this. It's the devotees who should become like Subhidita Saurida. We should have for the Guru, go Subhidita Saurida. We should become very fixed in friendship, a firm friendship with the Guru. Now that friendship is not like, you know, get out of night, like, you know, how's it going? How's it going, Guru Maharaj? Not like that. Different type of friendship. But the friendship means still, there's different levels of friendship, right? So, and it's actually, there are many different words for the word friend, friendship. So, but we have to develop that friendship with the spiritual master. It means for a friend, I'll do anything. You know, I'll jump under a bus for my best friend. So, we'll do anything for the spiritual master. And that's the training that we've all inherited from Sri Prabhupada. In this one, Gurukul. You think of this one as a Gurukul. It's a school where we learn how to become sense controlled. It's a school where we learn how to become a servant. It's a school where we learn how to become submissive. And we do that in satsanga, in the association of devotees. I wanted to share with you, I've been listening to Prabhupada speaking, singing and speaking on this Bhajan, Bhajan 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 Bhajan. And Prabhupada did some very, many of you would have heard this translation that's famous on the CD, DVD, famous recording of Prabhupada. And he speaks very, very clearly and very powerfully his translation of this Vajrahuvimana. Sri Nandanandana. And he says that we're interested in worshipping Nandanandana Krishna. He said there might be many Krishnas, but we want to know we're serving Nandanandana, Devadanandana. We're serving just Krishna, not any other Krishna. Like so many people have the name Krishna. When we were studying Mumbai, the person who initially came to do the fix everything in the house. He's the plumber, the electrician, everything. You know, he comes in a pair of shorts and a singlet and takes the shoes off at the door, and he's got one bag, three tools in his bag, and he can fix anything. He's a plaster, a painter, plumber. I said, where's your certificate, man? And his name was Hare Krishna. That was his name, Hare Krishna. So there might be many Krishnas or Hare Krishnas, but we're interested in worshipping Vajrahuve Mana, Sri Nandanandana. So Prabhupada's saying that the mind is so difficult to control. Unless we worship Krishna, the mind will be lost, will be in the triple consciousness, Vajrahuve Mana. And then he says that this will create fearlessness. The poet, Govinda, is saying, when you take Charanaravinda, Avaya Charanaravinda, you will become completely fearless by this worship of Krishna when you worship the Supreme Lord, Chinnamanandana. And he says that it's very difficult, Dulava Malava, Janama, to achieve this unless we have a satsang. He said, Prabhupada said in his commentary that without the association with devotees, forget it, he says. Forget it. You can't become Krishna conscious without the association with devotees. Satsanga. That this is an ocean. To get out of this ocean of material suffering, you have to have the satsanga, the association of bodies. And this is the verse I want to share with you, because it's connected with today's verse. It's the Sita Atapa Bara Parishana. That we're doing anything. We'll go through heat and the cold of winter in Melbourne. Bharadishana, the sleet, the rain, the wind, right? In this material world, we'll do anything for a drop of satisfaction in the material world. We try hard, our hardest, to achieve this day and night, Govinda does this. In a journey, jaggy bed. It will heat, cold, rain, sleet, whatever it is. Day and night, we'll do our best to enjoy the senses. We'll do our best to achieve the goal of our sense gratification. And we've been serving here in the material world. This is a beautiful line translation by Prabhupada in his commentary. He says, Vipale means, he says, without result. Vipale, without fruit. Nothing can do this. Why didn't it come? Vipale saving. Because Kripana Durajana. He says this Durajana, his translation of Durajana is outsider. What a beautiful way of saying it. Durajana is an outsider. Because we've been serving these materialistic people, we've got no result. We call it useless. No matter what we didn't get what we wanted in the material world. Because we're serving the wrong boss. We're serving the sense, we're serving the mind. Durajana means one who's outside. He's an outsider, means he's not good for us. Apasyatam. Apasyatam atma patman. Creation being ordinary. Outsider. They don't have any vision. Certainly can't avoid it. No vision of reality. Because of the focus on Vrihamedi, Vrihachur Vrihamedi now. that this intelligence is for sense gratification in the house. The Grihastha ashram means a fortress for sense control. It's where we take shelter. It's where we become strong. But the Griha maybe just loses it there. Apashyatana. In that we can't see anything there. Durjana, outsider. We want to be with the insiders. The insiders are the satsanga, the devotees. Chapala Sutta Lava Lagide. That this is just not a drop. Chapala Sutta. The happiness that we receive here is like a drop of water in the desert. And Prabhupada quotes this tomorrow, he quotes the Japanese verse that the happiness of family life is compared to a drop of water in the desert. And he mentions that in his commentary, in his verse. It's just like a drop. He says, in the water you need, in the desert you need water. But what will a drop do? Useless. And so then Prabhupada says that, you know, you have your youth and you're expanding and you have your strength and vitality and you can do so many things. Make skyscraper buildings and build fast motor cars. But what is use? Useless, he says. Aidan Yoga and Putra Parijana. And then he talks of the Kamala Dharajala Jivana Tamala, that the water is like it's coming off the lotus stick. It won't stick, it doesn't stick, his happiness, because it's Chapala Sukha. So then Prabhupada says, alright, Govinda Das says, he's negating all these things that we're interested in, that we're attracted to as conditions for us. But what is the alternative for the mind? Give some alternative. And then he says, Shravana Kirtana. That's the alternative. Alright, we've been uselessly serving the senses, serving Durjana, the wicked outsiders, getting no result, but we continue to endeavor against hope to get some satisfaction and pleasure and promotion here in our pursuits for material happiness. And it didn't happen. And it won't happen. So what is the alternative? The alternative is Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana. Thus you second Atmanivedana. This is the alternative. To do bhakti, to engage in bhakti. That's the alternative. In conclusion, this was going to be my conclusion, but I don't have two false conclusions. So in conclusion, and this will be, you can keep me to this. In conclusion, and I said this, I heard Maharaj said, David and I said this last Sunday program we went to. In conclusion, then you know, okay, you get ready for the conclusion. Sometimes we stop the party, the class concludes about 10 times. My last point, one other point. So in conclusion, this was going to be my conclusion, but my conclusion is connected with this. That Pallad Maharaj, because Prabhupada quotes is under Kupan verse, it's a very important verse in Bhagavata. And I wanted to conclude with it. That Hiranyakashipu is Asurara. Krishna is Svarak. In Bhagavatam, Krishna is known as Svarak. He's the emperor of himself. No, he's the supreme Svarak. In the first canto, first chapter of Bhagavatam. In this verse, before this verse where we quoted today from the Hipatma Tahong Vigyan Andhukupan verse, Hiranyakashipu is introduced. Ekata Asura Rat. Putram, he said, for his son, he Ankama Rokyam, he puts his son on his lap. Right? And then he asks him, he says to Prahlad, my dear son Prahlad, Manyate Sadurevaram, what is the most important thing you've learned from your teachers under the mantra? This is the first time he asked the question, not the second. Second time, he got tossed off. Right? He got thrown into the ground and chopping up his sin. But this first time, his son very innocently told him, "My dear father, those who have taken this vow, who are in this household of ashram, in the Andhukupam ashram, they've lost their sense. Where do they go to the forest? They're lost in this forest of material enjoyment, in the household of Kriyas ashram. Get out of there. They're considering friends and enemies, dualities in the material world. Remove yourself from there and go to Vrindavan. Go to this Vanangato Yagdharimasriyata. Go to the forest. Instead of the forest of material enjoyment, go to the forest of Krishna, Vrindavan. Get out of the forest of material enjoyment and go to this forest where Krishna is the ultimate shelter." Then Hiranyakashipu, the Asura, says, "Where did you learn this from? This is not what we teach in our school." This is upsetting in the future. He says, "We shouldn't speak like this." So he said, "Go back to the school and call Sandaramaka." He's there, the teachers. Told the teachers, "We teach him properly. Make sure he doesn't get influenced by any bad association. He's getting some from somewhere, he's getting, so make sure he doesn't get bad association." So they took him back. And in the school, so they didn't get chastised then, and Harada didn't get thrown off the lap. His father, alright. Son got a little bit of a problem. He needs some counseling. So they sent him back to school. But the father, the son of the market, his teacher said to him in the school, "What happened, Prabhupada? We told you all this other really cool stuff, and you didn't say anything to your father about that, about diplomacy and about cheating and everything. We didn't say anything. We told him about this going to the forest. What is this Andhukupam stuff? When did he teach you this?" And then Prahlad told them, "Look, this is this natural. It comes from the heart. It's spiritual. It's everybody has access to this knowledge." And then they got mad. They said, you're not listening to us. You're in our school. We're the gurukula. We're the ashram teachers. We're gurus here." So they got the stick. And they said, "All right, you don't listen to us. The fourth order of discipline means stick. You get the stick." So they gave the stick to Prahlad. And then they kept teaching Prahlad. They told him nice things. "Well, you should become a guru, asura, a good thing." So then, after some time, I thought, now he's fixed up. He knows everything about diplomacy and everything. So economics and rituals and everything. He's fixed up. So we'll take him to his father. So the mother, Prahlad's mother, dressed him nicely, bathed him, dressed him, put nice ornaments on him. He looked very beautiful. He's a fortune, by the way, but dressed him up and took him for the father. The teacher's very proud. Okay, we brought him back, very proud, and they presented Prahlad to the father. The father was so happy to see his son. Again, Angamarokam put his son there and again asked him for love. "So, tell me, my dear son, he was kissing, fondling, smelling his head. Tell me, you know, what did you learn in school? Like, when you come home from school, your parents say, 'What did you learn today?' And you say, 'Nothing.'" "What did you learn today?" "Hopefully, it wasn't." "I learned on times tables." So you learn good things in school. So Prahlad said, "That's when you let loose Shravana Kirtana." He told his father, you know, he told the teachers in the Tina Dictionary about the also told Prahlad, "Don't worry about it, he won't become Krishna conscious." Then his Shravana Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam Prabhu said, he gave it to his father, and that's his father. He couldn't stand that. And then the life was finished. But the point is, to sort of bring it all together, is that Prahlad was teaching Brahmacharya. And many chapters in the Bhagavatam are teaching Brahmacharya. Many verses that are telling us that we should avoid Vishnu. They don't have any there. By Atamanina, because the materialist has external consciousness, they're always thinking outside of themselves. They won't focus on spiritual life. Sublime, giving very wonderful instruction in Brahmacharya. And that Brahmacharya is for all of us, those instructions, to control the senses, to control the mind, to engage in devotional service, to become servant, to become submissive. And in that way, we share a common culture in Krishna consciousness, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, in Srila Prabhupada's ashram. And that is that we can relate easily within the ashrams because we have the same expectations, same regulations, the same principles are regulating our lives, same principles are regulating our interactions, the same principles are regulating our behavior. And so the demarcation of ashram is proper said in the Bhagavatam, it's a mere formality. A distinction of renunciation. But we're all in the same ashram. We can say. And then we have demarcations according to our levels of renunciation. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you very much, Gandhi.
So
my question is.
Thank you for coming to the class every day.
You said that when the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada what did Srila Prabhupada the most, he said that many big things like deity worship or distribution. But in my age, when I can't do this, what should I do to be Srila Prabhupada?
What an amazing question. Thank you. For the benefit of those who are watching. Sid is asking, I mentioned that Shri Kirti Guru had been asked many times, what does Srila Prabhupada like the most? What will please Srila Prabhupada the most in our service? Your distribution of deity worship, etc. And his conclusion was always that Prabhupada sings in a very grand style, so he liked things to do something in a very big way. And Sylvia, how old are you?
Nine.
She's 9 years old and goes to a local Middle Park primary school with 40 others, the children. It's Middle Park Rural. Not quite yet, but it will be one day. So she's asking what she can do big things like deity worship, and she can spend her day on Swansea Street distributing Prabhupada's books and opening temples in all parts of the world. So what can she do? I'm glad you brought this up, Sibi, because I was thinking I wasn't planning to say that in the class, I just heard it recently, so I shared it with you. I was thinking that we can't order big things like open up temples and become a guru and run big temples and do really big things. But for Prabhupada, just like for Rakhavan Ramachandra and the spider helping to build the bridge to Lanka, Ram's accepting everybody's service. Hanuman can lift mountains and throw them into the ocean. And the spider can flick a little pebble, a little bit of dust, to make a little bit more traction to get over to the other side, to Lanka. And Ram considers the service, accepts the service equally, not that Hanuman is a bigger servant than the spider. Most of us here are spiders. We have small capacity to serve because of our different natures and because of different situations. But what we do is considered very big in the terms of Krishna and the Paramparaja of Prabhupada. When we make an offering to Krishna, Krishna is called the Bhavarajanadana. He takes just whatever we give and this takes the best part of that. There might be so many imperfections in what we offer. Krishna and Srila Prabhupada is taking the very, very essence of what we're offering and it may not be really big, but it's big for us. It may not be good for someone else. It's kind of, in a relative sense, what we have, our capacity, if we offer our full capacity to Krishna, that's big, and that is accepted by Krishna. And acknowledged and important for Śrīla Prabhupāda and for the devotees. So whatever we can offer, as a student, as a young student in school, what we can offer to Śrīla Prabhupāda is what we are doing already, is attending the temple as much as you can. And for you and your family, that's incredible. You know, we always share our appreciation of what we do with our friends in New Zealand and different parts of the world, because it's important. Prabhupada wanted that, that the children attend as much as they can, and you're attending as much as you can, and then if time counts, when it's a Monday, you'll be here at 9 o'clock on Monday to get to school, or you'll be out the back eating prasad and getting to school. So as much as you can, spend time in the temple, bring your friends to the temple. And at school, one thing you could do at school without too much interference is you make some friends that are not devotees. So there's plenty of children in the school, and there'll be plenty of innocent children there that would love to hear about Krishna, that would love to hear to come to the temple and say, would you like to come to our temple? And you can bring them here. You can sneak off at the right time. No, you can't do it. But you can, after school, when you get permission from the parents, you can say, I'm going to take my friendship to my temple and start bringing your friends to the temple. And then before you know it, your school will be a group. All the children will come here for lunch and for after dinner, and they'll be begging their parents, Mommy, can I go to that temple in Upper Park? Around the corner of Lane Street? I don't want to go to the church anymore. But you could see if you can bring some friends. That would be a very nice service. And you can just do it in a very innocent way. You're not preaching to them. We don't want to make them Krishna conscious devotees. We just want to share what we've got. We've got something special here. You know, when you got a friend, you can say, you want to share something with them. Secret. I've got a secret. I'll tell you the secret when I go to the temple. So we come to the temple and we show the secret. It's our secret. It's part of our love. And they explain to them what they have. And then that friend enjoys serving another friend. That would be a nice service. Probably they're just thinking, how can we sell books to these kids? We can sell them the children's Bible thing. He just made an order for another set of Bible offerings. He's trying to put it into the Bible campaign. Can you do that, Sydney? Is that okay with you?
Thank you.
I think it's acceptable. You know, we had a friend in New Zealand, and she's been initiated a long time, Chinese. And she's Chinese from Singapore. She knows many Chinese dialects. And English is just okay, but not great. But, so she was doing some service in New Zealand as a housemaid, looking after children for local people, not just the locals. So she'll be like a nanny. And she'll be called in to look after the children. And at night time, the parents go out and they spend long, they come back at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night. So she put the children to sleep 7 o'clock or something, when they had to go to sleep, did everything right. And then she was sitting in front of the fire, it's how old was it? She was sitting in front of the fireplace, chanting, like at 8 o'clock at night, Hare Krishna, finishing her rounds, the japa. And the kids come out, sometimes one child will come out, one girl will come out, and look at the babysitter, and she's chanting. What is she doing? Looking at her, and then she gets her brother. Look at what she's doing. And then auntie's doing something, she's proud to herself. And they're looking at her, and then the next time she comes, they both come out again. And so after some time, they come out to her and say, auntie, what are you doing? Why are you talking to yourself after some time? So she said, oh, I'm doing japa. So these young kids that are very interested, and they said, can we do japa? Can we do this? Don't worry, please. So she said, okay, but don't tell your parents. So she told them, Hare Krishna, my kids teach chant Hare Krishna. And then she took them to temple. Local kids, took them to temple. So she got them in the afternoon, so bring them to the temple, and then go home and chant some rounds with them, put them to sleep, dancing rounds. And the parents found out, and the parents said, what are you doing? And she said, but they came home and she was chanting japa. And they said, what are you doing? And the kids were sort of chanting. And the parents asked, what is this? And she said, oh, japa is my career time, I do the prayers late at night. So they were interested, and then she brought the parents to the temple. The parents, the children, everyone came to the temple. So they were completely non-devotee value, and but they're interested because she just had a very innocent thought. That's what I do. I chant Hare Krishna. Would you like to do it with me? Would you like to come to my temple? I've got a special temple. And yes, I will. And when they go to the temple, it's like, wow. And often they have a special, very special temple. It's powerful. But in Auckland, they built a temple. This used to be a school, and they made a nice temple. There they built a big temple. 500 people can sit. No one wants that temple. 500 people can sit in that temple. And it's all glass windows. And when you look out the glass windows, you see only fields, cows and horses and things. Very beautiful. So when you bring people to the temple, they have all paintings on the ceilings. Okay, thank you for the question. Krantara Shimar Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.